When we hear about God's justice for his elect, what comes to mind is God vindicating his saints by punishing evil. It is true, vengeance belongs to God and he will repay. And the Christian should pray for God to vindicate his people by subduing the church's enemies. And we should rejoice whenever God, in his wise mercy, brings temporal evil to an end, stopping an enemy from persecuting his people. We would think that God doesn't do this enough because there is still plenty of suffering and injustice in the world, as God in his infinite wisdom permits and governs suffering that befalls even his beloved sheep. It is a painful world because of sin, and we do cry out to our God day and night. We cry out at seeing injustice when the child is slaughtered in the womb because its life was seen to be a burden by those who didn't want to bear it. For these creations of God, whose lives are cut short due to sheer selfish wickedness, there is no trial, no legal defense for the little ones who can't speak for themselves and have no lawyer to plead for their life. The serial killer on death row, at least, has those things. The baby in the womb does not. We cry out when the tyrant abuses his power or when a government passes legislation in direct violation of God's holy word. Our consciences become burdened, and our faith is afflicted when it seems the circle that is religious freedom becomes tighter and tighter until finally it's nothing but a noose. For the elected saints of God in Christ, there is plenty of injustice in a world rocked by sin and plagued by the devil. And we do become discouraged and even angry when evil rages while our omnipotent God seems from our point of view to be doing nothing. And we would count God as being slow to execute his justice. However, St. Peter reminds us when he speaks the inspired word of God that says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." The very next verse tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. God is patient. God is long-suffering as he desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked repent and believe in him. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, friends. Quickly, suddenly, at an hour you do not expect, and God will bring justice speedily when he comes in glory to make all things right at that surprising hour. So don't get drunk. Don't get sleepy. Repent of your sin and look to Christ for your salvation. Abandon all confidence in your flesh and look to God's steadfast love that is richly yours in Jesus. Because when God comes, his justice will be quick. And on that day, there will be no more tyrants, no more evil legislation, no more aborted babies, persecuted people, and wicked governments. Hence the reason we should pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." Speaking of prayer, in the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus tells us that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Pray. Pray. God is not like the unrighteous judge in today's parable. He was arrogant and selfish, that unrighteous judge. He thought only of himself. And he had neither fear of God nor respect for man. But the pesky widow comes, and she demands justice against her adversary. She's persistent. And the browbeating pays off. The judge relents. And to satisfy the determined woman, he finally decides to grant her request. The judge had no faith and was eventually worn down by a poor widow whose incessant demands made a difference. Friends, God is not like this judge. God is not unrighteous, but righteous. And if the unrighteous judge, if even he could eventually give people what they want, what does that say about our righteous God, who is merciful, faithful, and loving? God does care about you. God does care about you, and he wants your pleas. He commands you to pray. He wants to hear from you. And it would be a mistake to think God hears you and answers you because of your determination or persistence. God hears you. God hears you because he has declared you to be his child in Christ. The devil would tell you to keep your mouth shut because you're too big of a sinner to pray to the Almighty God. So don't even bother. God won't hear you. And yet this accusation that you are a sinner barred access to God is a lie for the baptized believer. I spoke earlier of God's just vengeance in him punishing temporal wickedness, like when he removes a tyrant or knocks down a prideful nation, kind of like we're hearing from Amos in Bible study. Also, we look for and we do pray for God's justice when he returns in the fullness of his glory. But there's another type of justice, one Lutheran theologian once called evangelical justice, and it works like this. All the sins and the evils of our flesh, don't be fooled, those sins too deserve a just punishment. But such punishment has fallen on Jesus. God's just wrath for sin is absorbed by his only Son, who out of love for you snatches all of your sin and in turn gives you his righteousness and his kingdom. It is the great exchange. Jesus taking wrath and death away from you and in turn giving you his perfect holiness and divine righteousness. This evangelical justice is only God's justice for sin, but poured out on Jesus. The debt has been paid. The ransom met. This, my friends, is the heart of justification. God declaring you, speaking you righteous because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, who bore sin's punishment to redeem you from sin's grasp and declare you his. Faith receives all of this, my friends. And so you are that child of God who, because of Christ, has unbridled access to his throne. He hears you. Your God hears you. Every one of your cries, your sighs, your moanings, your frustrations, and even your confession of sin when you go to him for mercy. God hears all of it, and he wants to hear more. God wants to hear even more from his children that he died to save, and he promises to hear all of your petitions, all of your desires, and all of your wants. He hears them, so be bold. God has given you such boldness. Approach his throne in the forgiveness of all of your sins in Christ, knowing that for the baptized, God does not see the sinner. But for the baptized believer, God sees his child washed, redeemed, holy in Christ. This is why we mustn't lose heart, friends. Think of all that you have already. We mustn't lose heart. Even in a world of pain, misery, defeat, don't lose heart, but pray to your God, the God who has given you the gift of prayer, and you have his ear. Don't be discouraged. The devil will accuse you and tell you it's false, it's all a lie. Don't pray. Solve your own problems, you miserable sinner. That's what the accuser tells you. Tells us. That's a lie. Directly opposed to the gospel, God calls his children baptized and forgiven in Christ. He calls his children the elect. And faith in Christ comes with the comforting, blessed assurance that your salvation in Christ was predestined even before the foundations of the world. God knew you in Christ. He's predestined. He predestined you blameless and holy in Christ. Unless you think I'm exaggerating the goodness of the gospel at this point, as I once did when a pastor tried to comfort me by saying God knew me before the foundations of the world. Yes, I thought that's too good to be true. You're exaggerating a bit, right? Wrong. Read Ephesians chapter 1, and you will hear God comfort and assure you of what you possess, what the predestined child in Christ possesses. You have all of it because of Jesus. My friends, justice for the elect, in a very real sense, has already been given. In Christ, the just punishment for all of your sin, all of it, has been met. Every last one of your sins, covered by Jesus' blood. And when you reflect upon your baptism in a world that is becoming more and more unhinged every day, recall that in Christ, you are always heading to eternal life, that place God has secured for you. And also recall that being baptized means you are washed in Christ every day. The old man is killed, and the new man daily emerges and arises before God. And when you take the Lord's Supper, when you take the Lord's Supper in a world that is becoming more and more unhinged every day, remember the promise of your God that you receive into your mouth the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins. What this means is, as we wait for God's return, even right now, we are satisfied by his love, protection, mercy, and forgiveness. We have all that we need. So pray often, Christian. Don't lose heart and be bold. If it's healing you seek, pray for it. If it's money you need, pray for it. And most importantly, know God's justice for sin poured out on Jesus through death on a cross means even right now, you have access to God. You have forgiveness from God that the devil, our adversary, cannot take away. He will accuse you, but his accusations lead to nothing. Nothing. Because the very thing he accuses you of has already been taken away from you and paid for by Christ. Don't lose heart. You know where you're going, and you know what you have. The Lord Jesus will not go back on his word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which really does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen. Let us now rise and we shall sing the offertory.